as always, appreciate this, my friend. Hey, where are you on, you've heard the rumors, you've done the digging, you've looked into it. Where are you on David Price and his potential of re-signing with the Jays?
You know, I'm going to agree with some of the stuff that you've been hearing. There's no reason for people to hold their breath at this point. And, you know, it's sad because these rumors are out there, and they're not even really rumors. They're just, my guess is just speculation, probably uninformed speculation. But they're giving people maybe some hope where, you know, it shouldn't necessarily be there, at least not at this point. You know, did David Price enjoy himself in Toronto? Absolutely. But everything lines up right, would he come back? Sure. But the likelihood of all those things coming together is not high at all. And that the money for David Price is probably going to go into an area that we haven't seen the Blue Jays delve into yet. We haven't seen new president Mark Shapiro in his past, although he's operating within a different club with a different economic circumstances. We haven't seen him delve into free agency in that sort of fashion in his past. So you factor in all those different things, and you know, there's not a lot there that would logically lead you to think that this is going to happen.
So when you talk about all the things having to come together, could it happen? Sure. What would those things have to be?
Well, I would think that the Blue Jays would have to make a strategic ownership level decision to make that sort of financial commitment that's needed, knowing full well that the final 2, maybe even 3 years of that contract are probably going to be pretty ugly, and that you're really buying 4, maybe 5 good years out of David Price. And that's probably a best-case scenario even. And that the Blue Jays would be able to outbid the other teams who are going to be in on him. And that's another big if, too. And, you know, ultimately, does coming back to Toronto make more sense to David Price than maybe going to a place like Los Angeles or a place like Chicago with the Cubs or one of the different areas Boston's going to have a legitimate interest in him? That I don't think anyone can really say for sure. But anyone who thinks that David Price is going to give the Blue Jays any sort of discount or that he might take a few less years or any of those things, you know, that stuff is fantasy land stuff.
Right.
And that any team that's going to land David Price is going to be more or less the high bidder right there at the end.
So what's Toronto's approach here? Like, do they offer him a contract? Do they give him a contract that fits in with their budget and then see whether or not that works for him? Do they not offer him a contract? I'm curious as to how the Jays go about this, knowing that he was pretty important for them down the stretch in the regular season.
Sure, but you know, that being said, they acquired him with the knowledge that they were probably only going to have him for a couple months.
Right.
You know, and that it wasn't that, oh, we're going to bring him here and that we're going to sign him back and all those things. But the approach, my sense at least, of the approach is that it's, you know, keep us up to date. Let's check in every once in a while and let's see where things go. And if for some reason the market bottoms out for David Price and he's looking at, you know, 5, 120 or something, then all of a sudden the conversation is different. But if his number is going to be where the people that I've spoken to expect it, it's a pretty wide range, you know, from as low as, you know, just south of John Lester to somewhere between Kershaw and Max Scherzer. So that's a range of, you know, say 160 to 200 or so. I mean, I don't see that type of money happening from, or at least coming to him from the Blue Jays.
Right. Wouldn't it be nice if you and I could have contract negotiations that bottom out at $120 million over 5 years?
I know. If that's your worst-case scenario, you've had a few things go well for you in life, haven't you?
No kidding. Final thought on Price. What does your gut say? Like, if you were to just ballpark and handicap it, where do you see him pitching next season?
I know the Cubs keep making noise that they're out and whatever, but to me, that's a good fit. I think him and Joe Maddon work well together. His former Vanderbilt coach is in the organization. That's a strong tie. His connection to Vanderbilt remains very, very strong when he pitched in college. So I think that that work there, I can also see him ending up with the Dodgers, you know, the Friedman connection there. I think those ties can sometimes be really important for agency because you've got people who are influencing decision who have a history with a player. And if you're going to make that kind of substantial investment in someone, you want it to be in a person that you have some history with and you have a pretty good idea of what they're going to be about.
In conversation with Shai Davidi, a Blue Jays insider, Major League Baseball insider for Sportsnet, joining us here on the big show this afternoon. So when you take a look, let's take it away from the specific price conversation, and just, you look at this Jays rotation, you know that Marco Estrada's re-signed and he's coming back. Does this group need to go out and heavily chase an ace? Do they need to go out and, you know, heavily chase a new number two or a new number three? Like, what do they need to do? What is the main thing that needs to happen rotation-wise for the Jays in free agency?
That's a great question, and it's interesting because there are a couple different ways they can skin the cat. And I wonder if they might look to the Kansas City Royals model last year. You think, okay, the Royals lost James Shields, and rather than going and getting some big-time guy in the offseason, they got some mid-range options, and they had a lot of depth in the rotation. And then when they needed to, at the trade deadline, they went out and acquired Johnny Cueto to give him that little boost and give him that weapon for the postseason. Now, given the way that the Blue Jays are set up offensively and the way that that's in a lot of ways going to be the part of the team that carries the load, I wonder if they may just try to stock up, you know, a bunch of solid, you know, 180, 200 inning types. Guys are just going to, you know, give you six innings consistently, not necessarily dominate games, and they can, and then let the offense and hopefully what's on their part, hopefully a bullpen that's solid, do the rest. So, I mean, that's one way to skin the cat, you know, or they could go a little bit more into the, you know, middle range type, upper middle range type of stars like a Jeff Samardzija, Hisashi Wakuma, although I'm not certain that he'd come in Toronto. But that ilk of starter makes right. A bit more of a substantial investment and then have a bit of a beefier front end of the staff.
Where does Jesse Chavez fit into this whole mix right now?
Well, he's you know, it's the kind of pickup, kind of under-the-radar pickup that provides a lot of value to the team because he's going to give them some flexibility and some protection. You know, he can start in the back end of the rotation. He could be a long relief guy. He could be a middle relief guy. He can fill a bunch of different roles, but he gives you that protection. And really what happened is the way that the Blue Jays got stripped down last year at the trade deadline, with, you know, the so many assets being used to make, they're really naked at AA level in terms of depth. So having a guy like him gives them the potential, if they add enough starters, to maybe start Drew Hutchison in AAA Buffalo and have him be, you know, your next call-up type of guy, which would be a pretty good position to be in. So I think that his role is going to ultimately depend on what happens next in the offseason, but he provides him a lot of protection and flexibility to do a bunch of different things in the coming weeks and months.
Just a few more with Shai Davidi from Sportsnet. First of all, when do we see our first big free agent signing? Like, what's our ETA here?
It's, you know what? It's funny. It seems that it goes later and later in baseball. You know, the NHL's really got it figured out. Like, you know, the free agency period opens, everyone signs in 3 days, and everyone spends the rest of the summer drunk up at the cottage, right?
Yeah.
In baseball, they just drag it out for months and months, and I would expect us to see a bit of movement probably starting next week once Thanksgiving passes, as the teams get a little bit more serious and a little bit more focused heading into the winter meetings. And if it's not before the winter meetings, then I think we could have a zoo at the winter meetings because there are a ton of moves that are waiting to happen. And it usually takes one person to set the market for the floodgates to open afterwards.
So is Price going to be that first domino to fall, at least when it comes to pitchers?
You know, sometimes the bigger guys are the ones who take a little bit longest because they don't want to be the first to set the market. And especially this year when there are so many high-end pitchers on the market with Greinke and Zimmerman and Cueto and Samardzija, that whoever signs is going to, in a lot of ways, determine where the other contracts for everyone else goes. So I don't know that Price will necessarily be the first one, but a lot of people will be looking to whoever is first to negotiate their contract accordingly based on what that number is. And it usually, there's a lot of pressure on that first person to get a big number to set everyone else up well as well.
It's an interesting thing to watch. I appreciate the insight, Shai, as always. Thanks so much for spending 10 minutes with us this afternoon.
Oh, my pleasure. Be well.